Samsung has been leading the smartphone pack for over a decade. There have been a few moments in its history when it sets a formidable trend in the smartphone industry. If you're old enough to remember how big of a deal this Galaxy S2 was, it brought a solid Android flagship phone that could compete with an iPhone or a BlackBerry any day. Yes, there was that time. Or when they unveiled the Galaxy Note, some thought that big screen phones were really overkill and unnecessary, along with the stylus. But people the world over loved it, and hence, big screen phones are now the norm, given that we do so much more with our phones. Oh, I still remember the Galaxy Edge phones that were quite unique with the curved AMOLED displays. Yes, that was like a few years ago. I'm becoming more and more old in that regard. But now, Samsung is once again shaking things up, and let's just say they've got it figured out. The Galaxy Z Fold 3 and Z Flip 3 aren't just some new phones. These are foldable phones ready to hit the mainstream, and it looks like they've figured it out. Hello everybody, I'm Amazon, and this is Mom's Gadget Talk for Friday, 13th of August, 2021. And as I've earlier mentioned, yes, we'll be talking all about Samsung's newest releases. We've got two foldable phones. The first, Samsung Galaxy Watch, to run Google's smartwatch OS. Yes, where else but Google? It's happening, guys. No more Tizen. You know how it goes. And much, much more. So without further ado, let's get unpacking, shall we? So after two iterations of foldable phones, Samsung has really figured the right formula for these devices. And in fact, when I mean they're looking to shake things up, they've released not one, but two foldable phones, which simply means Samsung has immense faith that foldables will change the smartphone forever, and that the regular candy bar form factor will no longer be the norm. We've heard a lot about these phones. We've got to acknowledge that the fact that there have been so many leaks, so it's not a surprise, but that we're actually getting these bad boys. We've got two phones, the Galaxy Z Fold 3 and Z Flip 3. As I've mentioned, they're the third generation of Samsung's folding phones in their own right. For starters, the Z Fold 3 has an outward folding display, which opens up like a notebook. It has an outer display, which works like a regular phone. It's quite compact, sort of. It's one-handed ability is there in that regard. The Z Flip 3, on the other hand, has a flip phone design with a small but improved outer display. You can glance at more things, use the rear cameras to take a selfie, pay goods with Samsung Pay, and much, much more. And has a single folding display, again, quite like a flip phone. As you can tell, it results in a compact design, easily pocketable. Let's read to the specs, you know, because, I mean, you can't tell a phone from just the looks alone. To start with, the Galaxy Z Fold 3 features an outer 6.2-inch 120Hz dynamic AMOLED 2X display with a resolution of 2,268 by 832 pixels, with a pixel density of 387 pixels per inch, along with an inner folding 7.6-inch 120Hz dynamic AMOLED display with a resolution of 2,208 by 1,768 pixels, with the same pixel density as the outer display, but with a peak brightness of 1,500 nits, or 1,500 nits, for you to understand American English. For the cameras, you've got a 10-megapixel front camera on the outside, but a 4-megapixel front under-display camera on the inner folding display, which is the first from Samsung. Aside from that, it's got three 12-megapixel sensors on the back, giving you regular wide-angle, ultra-wide-angle, and telephoto chops. Having gone down to the specs, because this actually is the same grid of sensors from last year's Z Fold 2, so they've maintained the same camera system because it's a folding phone, you know? You're not going to notice the camera, honestly. You're going to see the fact that it folds, you know? Wow. Aside from that, it has a Snapdragon 888 processor, no Exynos version, however. There's only a Snapdragon variant, which I think is wonderful. 12 gigabytes of RAM, either 256 or 512 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 storage, 4,400 milliamp per hour battery, 25-watt fast charging, 10-watt wireless fast charging, IPX8 water resistance, full 4G and 5G band support, dual SIM, Wi-Fi 6E, Bluetooth 5.2, NFC, top and bottom firing speakers with Dolby Atmos support, a side-mounted fingerprint sensor, and weighs just 183 grams. So it's a little bit lighter than the previous Z Fold 2. There was no Z Flip 2. Speaking of which, moving over to the Z Flip 3, it features an outer 1.9-inch Super AMOLED display, a resolution of 260 by 512 pixels, and a pixel density of 302 pixels per inch, along with an inner foldable 6.7-inch 120Hz Infinity Flex Dynamic AMOLED display with a resolution of 2640 by 1080 pixels. You know, I think it's FHD plus, I believe. 1080 pixels with a pixel density of 425 pixels per inch. For cameras, you have a 10-megapixel front punch hole camera on the inside where the foldable display is. On the outside, you have two 12-megapixel cameras giving you regular wide and ultra wide angle chops, you know, so you can do that if you want. Not much of an upgrade, but it's there. Along with that, you have the Z Flip 3 has the same Snapdragon 888 processor as its bigger brother, 8 gigabytes of RAM, so that's 4 gigabytes less than the Z Fold 3. Either 128 or 256 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 storage, a 3,300 mAh battery, 15-watt fast charging, 10-watt wireless fast charging, full 4G and 5G support, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, only a single SIM card, not dual SIM like on the Z Fold 3, stereo speakers with Dolby Atmos, side-mounted fingerprint sensor, and weighs just 183 grams. So it's a little bit of a thick boy, but again, it is a flip phone, so, you know, it's quite sturdy for what it is. The Z Fold 3 comes in three colorways, Phantom Black, Green, and Silver, and green is a bit like dark green, so, you know, like the S21 Ultra, whereas the Z Flip 3 comes in cream, green, lavender, and Phantom Black. The Z Fold 3 will start at $1,799, whereas Z Flip 3 starts at just $999, so about $1,000, give or take. And you can pre-order these phones right now, sort of. You can go to Samsung's site, really, or a nearby retailer or cell carrier or mobile network, and you can, you know, pre-order these phones. And it'll be available from August 27th in select regions. As always, like any spec read we've do on this show, with regards to prices and availability, prices and availability will vary by region. Please check with your local retailer or reseller for more information or for local prices, you know. So this may not be how much it will cost where you live. So again, please do check with a reseller or a retailer near you for a local price. I mean, I could mention it here, but it'll take forever, sort of. So yeah. Prices may vary, that is. So, we've gone through the specs. We really need to talk about the fact that these are third-gen foldable phones with seriously good refinement and functionality. First things first, it isn't just more durable. We have high refresh rates on these phones, which is only a good thing if you're used to 120Hz displays on other flagships. That, again, is a pretty good thing in and of itself. Along with that, speaking of durability, both phones have a protective film made of stretchable PET, that famous plastic you see on water bottles, covering that foldable display. Along with that, you have a Snapdragon 888 chip inside both devices. So there's no Exynos version, and I'm sure it's to keep things pretty simple here. And also, there is a chip shortage going on all over the world, so I'm pretty sure Samsung made a conscious decision to offer a single chip for their flagship foldables. And if they offered an Exynos version, it would have been great, but again, it would probably add another layer of complexity and software issues and all that kind of stuff. So I think Samsung made a pretty good choice here. Which leads me to, and I think this is the elephant in the room we've got to talk about. Now, I know, we've mentioned it before, but Samsung's focusing on launching these two folding phones at the expense of no new Galaxy Note. And you're sitting there going like, dude, where's my Note? I want my S Pen. I want my big old curvy display, right? I want it all. I want the note taking. I want the big screen experience. I want multitasking. You could get the older models. You can get the Note 20. It's available everywhere, really, if you can find it, though. Or you can get the Z Fold 3, which is what it's supposed to be, really, and the Z S Pen Fold Edition, which is like a $70. I think it's an $80. I think $60 to $70 to $80. Accessory you can get, and you can even get one with a case that's like $100, I believe, and that has a retractable pro tip, so essentially won't go about scratching the display while scribbling, There's also a pro version which offers more functionality and Bluetooth support, but that costs $99. That's based on what I've seen. You'll have to buy the S Pen separately, though. That's the point here. So that's a bummer. You can say that the Z Fold 3 is basically what the Galaxy Note 21 could have been, but I'm pretty sure that either the Note or the Fold would have been cannibalized in that sense. But I think a bit of a comfort can come with the Z Fold 3, and that is you do get quite a lot of beloved Note software quirks like Flex Mode, Multi-Active Window, Taskbar, and App Pair. So yeah, Samsung made a pretty smart move pushing the foldables. I mean, because, again, you could have offered three different phones, but people would be like, why do I have to get another Note? It's this perfect. I could have got the S21 Ultra, and people would run out and get the S21 Ultra on, say, on a discount price. And we've kind of heard already that if you're reading up tech news, you will know that Samsung has reported lower than usual S21 sales numbers, and that's caused a bit of a internal like review. Hey, what's internal management's like, hey, we've only sold like 500,000 S20. We sell millions of these. Why 500,000? And then like, all right, we got to do an investigation. You know, I mean, if you know how corporate, how kind of these little, KPI violations go in corporate boardrooms, you know how it goes. So I don't have to tell you that. I mean, so I'm sure Samsung understood going in. And there was also things like the chip shortage. So it would be difficult to put a phone together after all that time and obviously after such a tough year. And but then you'll be thinking, wait, the Note 20 series was released in a pandemic year. But the thing was, they did the development a year before. You got to understand that phones, they take a couple of years to develop. It takes 3 to 12 months or 3 to 18 months for a phone to go from a idea on the boardroom in a meeting to a full-fledged phone you can ship out to millions of consumers. So they already had the Note 20 in the pipeline, sort of, from 2019-ish, and they just released it in 2020. And that's the thing about it. And obviously now they got to the Note 21, they're like, I mean, and I'm sure they did their fair share of Microsoft Teams meetings, and they're like, I don't understand it. I don't think people are going to buy it, because no one's going to buy a Note phone. So I think Samsung, as I mentioned earlier, they made a pretty smart move here, and that's for sure. Aside from that, they've seen to figure out durability. Everything from sure bristles in the folding hinges to withstanding 200,000 folds. One big upgrade, and that's where all the marketing will be, literally, in that sense. And I've seen posts already and ads for these phones, in a sense. And one big upgrade is the IPX8 rating, making it one of the first waterproof foldables out there. Now you're like, wait, what? Where's the 6 in IPX8? Like, where did the dust... there's no dust resistance. Sorry, guys. I mean, dust would literally go and creep into the display and ruin and everything. But in case you're curious about the 8 in IPX8, this means that you can handle the phone being submerged in up to 1.5 meters of water for up to 30 minutes. Just don't take it to the beach, though. You know how it goes. You know, stuff, sand can get in. So it's not dust resistant. Get it? Anyways, you got Gorilla Glass Victus that is used on the glass back and front of both devices. Well, actually, the inner folding display is actually made of ultra-thin glass, so that's not Gorilla Glass Victus, but it's on the back. I wrote it in the script, weirdly. You also got Armor Aluminium on the frame, which they say is the strongest aluminium ever used on a Galaxy smartphone. We'll see about that. I mean, like, the claims about durability and handling bends and cracks, again, still, just please put a tough case on. Thank me later in that regard. I mean, because the thing is, there's like a certain point that aluminium frames can be durable, and then afterwards they just start to crack and under pressure. Anyways, the Z Fold 3 has an under-display camera, which is a 4-megapixel front-facing shooter, based on countless hands-on videos I've seen, and this is just based on seeing lots of videos. I haven't really played around with these devices, so I can't tell you much. This is based going on what the press release has stated and the countless hands-on videos I've seen on YouTube. You can tell the hole where the camera is, that punch hole, sort of, from an angle, or if you see it through a camera. But if you look right at it just normally, You can't tell it's there, which is interesting. But I do think Samsung does need to work on improving that gap, really closing that gap, improving to really to close that gap that's there, and to really reduce that sort of hole, that ghosting hole you see there, given all the innovation we're seeing in the space. I mean, given what we're seeing from ZTE and Xiaomi and much, much more. And Xiaomi has a production phone that you can buy in stores and cost just as much as this bad boy, that has a not so visible punch hole notch for the camera to go through the display. So they really need to work on. I think that's what the Z Fold 4 is for, or 5 potentially. Oh well, both phones have One UI 3.0, which is Samsung's flavor of Android, which offers quite an optimized experience for these bad boys. The Z Flip 3 has gotten quite a good upgrade in that regard. On the flip side, you got a 1.9-inch hour display, on which you can check the time and do more things I've mentioned earlier. The only software feature that's worth mentioning in the Z Flip 3 is the flex mode, and I'll kind of keep it here to an example, which splits, say, for example, YouTube, so you can have a video playing on the top, so you don't have to full screen it, and at the bottom you can have playback controls or check comments, which I think is quite practical for a lot of people, right over there. Now, I haven't played around or used these devices, so I can't give you a definitive judgment on these bad boys. Honestly, it depends on your use cases and situation. To start, I'll say right off the bat, the Z Fold 3 is an absolute baller's high-end phone. It's for those who are absolute phone geeks, workaholics, power users, and absolutely crazy Android fanboys. They just go gaga over Android in general. And if you're that crowd, you'll love this phone. In exchange for a folding display with under-display camera, cool quirky software tricks and all, you lose out on a cutting edge cam on cutting edge cameras that you're seeing on rival phones and on, say, the S21 Ultra, like Space Zoom and much, much more. Ultra fast charging, a wall charger in the box, if that matters. I mean, you will need it though eventually. SD card support and much, much more. 25-watt fast charging will be decent for a vast majority of users, but honestly, for such an innovative phone, you'd expect at least 50-watt fast charging. But I'm sure there's the battery degradation issue, which is a debate for another day. On the flip side, get it? Okay, yeah, pun intended. The Galaxy Z Flip 3 is just the perfect package for casual high-end phone buyers and cool folks who just want a stylish-looking folding phone. It's honestly got everything you need in a folding flip phone. The compact form factor is just right. At least you're getting a good value for your dough, being that it costs $999, around $1,000, give and take. And you can glance over the downsides like the dual camera setup, lack of a headphone jack or SD card slot, or that 3300 milliamp hour battery. If you're looking for something trendy, this is the foldable to get at the moment. Honestly, we've gotten two new folding phones, but it won't be long before we see lots of options from rivaling players. But we're a whole year or two away from that in that sense. But Samsung has tried, and they say third time's a charm, and that's how it is. Aside from that, I recommend the Z Flip 3. Pretty good price, compact form factor, you'll like it, and I'm sure you will mind some things being left out. The Z Fold 3 carries a higher price tag, but it's really for those who can make the most out of their smartphone experience. If you're getting it for work purposes or can deal with some of the downgrades to reach that $1,800 price tag, then it makes perfect sense. If you honestly don't care about folding phones at all, you don't give a, you really, you don't even care. I mean, it's not the bee's knees, honestly, in that sense. You just want solid performance. You want quick load times, sharp cameras, big batteries. You want everything. Flat phone, everything. You know, it's a phone. You open it, boom. The Galaxy S21 series will do wonders, and you can get it at a good discount these days. And Black Friday is around the corner in a few months' time. You probably could end up getting the S21 or S21 Plus at like $600-$700 right off the bat. If you want performance and all-round solid experience at around $1,000, the S21 Ultra is a solid buy, and you won't really regret it in that regard. So. And then again, there's the vast competition of high-end phones and mid-range phones. And again, if you want a solid, squeaky phone experience, you could say, then there's the competition as always. But if you're talking about Samsung, the S21 Ultra is obviously good at around $1,000 for what it is. So that's something to keep in mind. This is a game-changing moment for this form factor of smartphones, and well, it's just the start, hopefully, to solid all-rounder foldables. So there you have it, really. We got these two foldable phones, and you know, it's a pretty good thing that we're getting these devices. So yeah, there you have it, the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3. Now, I've kind of talked about the fact that these two foldables don't have a headphone jack, and you might be looking for a accessory to go with these new devices, right? Samsung has also introduced new wireless earbuds called Galaxy Buds 2. They are a sequel to the original Galaxy Buds, Buds Plus, Live, Pro, goodness, there already are a lot of versions of the Galaxy Buds available. And this is the latest. This is obviously the successor to, you could say, the Galaxy Buds Pro, in that sense of the word. And it is an interesting little wireless earbud, and it's quite premium in terms of price and specs that you have right over here. So to start with, it has this, this also was leaked before, so there's not much further to talk about, but it has a squarish charging case, along with quite compact, almost still beanie but comfy looking earbuds with tips on them. So essentially, they're designed to be normally good earbuds for what they are. So in terms of the earbuds, aside from the charging case, the earbuds themselves have a 61 milliamp hour battery, feature three microphones, two on the outside and one on the inside, with a voice pickup unit to sort of cut out noise, background noise on voice calls. So if you're calling people, and if it's switched on in the settings, you get crystal clear call quality, so you won't be able to tell that someone on the other line is in the middle of a busy session. And that's thanks to a machine learning algorithm that is running to cut out that background noise. And the voice pickup unit sort of does that too in that sense. But aside from that, the earbuds also have a driver setup. It has a dual driver setup that's like side by side. So on the left you sort of have a woofer, and on the right you have a tweeter. They combine to give you this incredibly balanced sound profile, which would be good for all sorts of users and all kinds of mobile users and those who have wireless earphones. So essentially, you won't get very bassy audio. You won't even get you won't get way too bassy audio, and we won't get way too tinny audio. It's quite balanced, according to Samsung, which I think is interesting nonetheless. Overall, the charging case weighs 41.2 grams. Earbuds themselves are incredibly light in that sense, at 5 grams, so you won't be able to tell that they're on your ears, and again, you will forget that they're there for after a while. Aside from that, like other previous Galaxy Buds that have come out, the Pro, I believe, the Buds 2 have active noise cancellation built right in, and that gives you, and it uses the microphones and everything to do active noise cancellation, and you can tweak it in the settings, like, say, on the AirPods Pro from Apple, in that sense. But interestingly enough, if you set them up in the app, you also have a fit test in the app, so you can sort of tweak the audio probably as it is. But yeah, as it's mentioned in the press release, you have, thanks to those two-way drivers, you have crisp, clear, high notes and deep bass. Again, it's quite balanced, so sort of you get a decent sound quality. Again, I'd love to test these if someone out there, or Samsung probably, would love to send the Buds too. Definitely would love to try out and see for myself how good these are. But you have active noise cancellation, as I mentioned earlier, and so it will cancel out the background noise in a sense. And like on competing earbuds with ANC, you also have modes, so you could switch completely to transparency mode, and it's pretty easy to press a button and sort of on the earbuds and get switch off active noise cancellation. So that's pretty cool nonetheless. On top of that, it comes in four wonderful colors. Graphite, white, olive, lavender. The outer case will completely be white, but inside you get those colors as it is, which is kind of smart, kind of efficient for Samsung, and also environmentally friendly because they don't have to make individual case colors. It's not that difficult, but again, probably a smart move from Samsung in that sense. Connects via Bluetooth 5.2, supports AAC codecs, and SBC and Scalable, which is Samsung's own codec for wireless audio, which is interesting. Never heard of it before, so it's interesting nonetheless. The charging case is Qi certified, so you could wirelessly charge it easily, so you don't need to carry on cables or anything like that, so you can use the same charger as your Z Fold and Z Flip phones, so that's pretty cool. Now you're wondering the key parts about, aside from it being active noise cancellation and so on and so forth, and obviously cancels out a lot of background noise when you're calling someone, how long will these last in terms of battery life? So in detail, overall, in terms of playtime, which is the important part because you're going to use these to listen to music and podcasts and this show and so on and so forth, you get 5 hours of playtime, buds in general. Overall, you get 20 hours of battery life if you have ANC on both earbuds combined. If you switch ANC off, you get 7.5 hours for an individual earbud and 29 hours combined, which I think is pretty interesting. And overall, you get up to 13 hours talk time with ANC on. An additional hour if you switch off additional ANC. Why I said additional, I don't understand. Oh, well, so it's pretty interesting. So overall, up to 20 hours of playtime, which is pretty, pretty cool. So you could wear them and it lasts the whole day, which is pretty, pretty cool nonetheless. The Galaxy Buds 2 will cost $150, and it will sort of be available alongside the phones and the other stuff from Samsung, primarily. So when these foldables will launch, this will be available too soon. So that's great. But honestly, $150 is a pretty high. It's pretty premium almost. It's neck and neck with stuff from Sony, from Apple, from the entire competition. So that's interesting nonetheless. So it's, I don't know about you, but it better be worth $150, and it better sound good. I mean, they're tuned by AKG easily. That's pretty much all of Samsung's audio gear. That it's tuned by AKG, but still, it is a pretty high price to pay, if you ask me. I mean, these better be, they should sound better than whatever's from Sony and so on and so forth. Honestly, for a whole lot less, $99, you can get the Nothing Ear ones. But then again, you're buying Samsung and you're buying the top-notch warranty. You're getting the instant connectivity with Samsung devices. There's the reliability. If something does go wrong, you can't use the warranty, really. And it's Samsung. It's a bigger brand. So what you're paying the extra for is really on top of the quality product. You're getting the brand quality that is Samsung. Reputability. You know, you're getting a reputable product. So I think if you're kind of risk-averse, it's a better choice in that regard. But again, then again, if you're young, if you're broke like me, there are a bajillion other brands that probably have something for you at your price, probably. But then again, the Buds 2 sort of should go well with the other devices, right? So that's the thing about them. So, but then there's also the Buds Plus and the original Galaxy Buds and the Pro. They'll go down in price, sort of. So it's kind of a tough choice, but if I were probably you and I already been buying these phones, I'd also get this too. It would match. It would go well with the Flip 3 in itself. So yeah, I mean, pretty interesting earbuds nonetheless. We didn't talk about the S21 FE because it's not been announced, obviously, that makes sense. But also, we've already heard before that they were not going to show the phone off, so that didn't come really. But instead, finally, we have the Galaxy Watch 4 and 4 Classic. So these are wearable devices, obviously. But what makes these smartwatches unique, and I've mentioned early on in the episode, is that they are running Wear OS by Google, which is a pretty big deal. This is the first Samsung smartwatch that you can buy that has Wear OS powered Wear OS by Google, but they say it's powered by Samsung, which sort of is a collaboration between Google and Samsung. So both companies sort of, and this was mentioned before this event, that Google and Samsung have come together and they're going to start offering Google's wearable operating system on Galaxy Watches, which is a big deal. Before, Galaxy Watches ran on Tizen and it was incredibly fast. It was seamless. It kind of ran flawlessly. There was no issues. A lot of apps kind of were support, like Spotify and much, much more. But now you have the now you have Google's operating system, and that gives you access to popular Google applications like Google Maps and Google Assistant and much, much more. And you can run the Google Play Store right on here without a problem, and they will tie into Android without a problem. So it's quite seamless, to say the least. And fortunately enough, they have One UI Watch 3 running on top of this Wear OS by Google, which is a big deal in and of itself. It's not a dramatic upgrade in and of itself, but I'd say that it's something to note, something noteworthy in that regard. Let's see what I did there. Anyways, in terms of specs, the regular Galaxy Watch 4 comes in 40 or 44 millimeter sizes. Overall, you get a 1.4 inch 450x450 diagonally Super AMOLED display, always on, has Gorilla Glass with DX Plus. So this is built for, again, this is this has the enhanced, this is for wearables actually, this is a version of Gorilla Glass for wearables, so they're durable and everything, they stop scratching. You get the Exynos W920 dual core processor, which is on a 5 nanometer fabrication. We didn't talk about this, but again, before, but this is new on these watches, so it's going to be a tad bit faster. You got 1.5 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, a 361 milliamp hour battery, and you get a WPC-based wireless charging, so it's sort of magnetic, so you pop it in and it starts charging in of itself. You get LTE, which is an eSIM variety, I believe, Bluetooth 5.0, Wi-Fi N, till N, wireless N, NFC, GPS, 5 atmospheric pressures, and IP68 water dust and dust resistance, so at least you get water and dust resistance here. And it's rated for up to MIL-STD-810G, standard really, overall. Runs Wear OS by Google, but it's powered by Samsung. That's the difference. On top of that, but in terms of sensors, you know, you gotta measure everything in terms of health. You have an optical heart rate sensor, and also it has electrical heart plus bioelectrical impedance analysis, which is like a combined sensor. So you could sort of measure your health, heart health. So you can see the state of your heart right there. If it's going up and down and everything, you know. If you got a, it won't tell you if I have a heart break, but oh well. You get an accelerometer, barometer, gyro sensor, geomagnetic sensor, and light sensor. And you get GPS on this. So again, tracking your runs will not be a problem. And keeping track of your heart will not be a problem. But it won't, certainly won't tell you whether you had a heart break or you have an achy, achy heart. If you know that reference, you're very old. Anyways. But aside from that, the 40mm variant has a 1.2-inch 396x396 display. Same glass, same spec, always on, you know how it goes. Overall, you have the 40mm one has a 247mAh battery equally, so that's interesting nonetheless. And the regular Galaxy Watch 4 comes in black, green, and silver, whereas the smaller one comes in black, pink, gold, and silver. The pink gold option on 40mm is probably for the fact that smaller watches are worn by women, so they like pink, you know, get it, lol. The classic variant of this is a little different. Is this classic? So it has a, it's a bit stylish, you could say. It's a bit classical. It just comes in black and silver and has 42 and 46mm sizes and has almost the same display. And almost the same sorts of specs. There's nothing more different. Obviously, to run this watch, you will need a phone with Android 6 and higher that has 1.5 gigs or more of RAM. So that's that, really. And LTE does come separately on these devices, on these wearables. So you'll have to keep that in mind. Oh, yeah. So what are you getting in these wearables? So in terms of sensors to track your health, you have a bioactive sensor, which is Samsung's own compact sensor that will do... that'll scan for three different things in one sensor using a single chip. So you could do optical heart rate, electrical heart, and bioelectrical impedance analysis. The last bit essentially helps you detect an AFib, irregular heartbeat, measure your blood oxygen levels, and finally calculate your blood composition. You want to see how fat you really are? and you want to track that in real time, this watch will let you do that. And I think that's really cool. Pretty novel trick if you're health conscious. Interesting enough, in just 15 seconds, fun fact, your watch's sensor will capture 2,400 data points. So you could see all sorts of things in real time. So that's interesting nonetheless. And obviously, being a Samsung smartwatch, it'll connect to a Galaxy, it'll give you a galaxy of experiences, get it? So for example, your watch face will sort of, if you see, it'll sync up to the outer display on your Z Flip 3, and so you can get the same face, sort of, so you can have the same look. Also, if you connect it to your smart TV and you run a Fit workout, sort of, you can see your heart rate on the TV, which is pretty, pretty cool nonetheless. You get a complete picture of your sleep patterns. This has already been done on other smartwatches, but you also can get it here, which is really, really cool. You get LTE. There is a separate version of these watches that do come with LTE and uses eSIM for this functionality, which is pretty, pretty cool. And as I said earlier, runs Google's Wearable OS, which is a big deal in and of itself, which is pretty cool. You get 16 gigs of storage, so you can store your music and extra apps and stuff if you need it. This watch will last you 40 hours overall, and you could charge it up in just 30 minutes to give you 10 hours of battery life. So essentially, to get a full charge, you would sort of charge it for 120 minutes. So that's 2 hours. So 2 hours gets you a full 40 hours charge, which is pretty impressive. You can already pre-order these watches, and they'll be available on August 27th, like the wearables itself, and do come in a broad range of bands and styles. Overall, the regular Galaxy Watch 4 will start from $250 for the Bluetooth variant, primarily $300 for the LTE variant, and the Classic will start at $350 for Bluetooth and $400 for LTE. And yes, like the smart, like the wearables and the watch, there will be a Thom Browne version that came before. It'll be available in late September. So do look out and do check Samsung's site for more information if you're interested. And the interesting part about the Galaxy Watch 4 Classic Thom Browne edition, it's plated with rhodium, which is interesting. I've never heard of a smartwatch with rhodium on it, so that's interesting. So yeah, the best part about these watches, though, it runs Google's Wearable OS, which is a big deal in and of itself. So that's kind of important nonetheless. Nothing much to talk about here, but yeah, you could, it'll integrate with your Android phone without a problem. So that's something to look at. Aside from that, what do you think of all the new goodies from Samsung? Let me know. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @said_my199. Follow me there while you're at it. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss another episode. Share this episode with your friends and family. All right. Take care. Have a great day. Until next week, this is your boy signing out. Thank you for listening. Ciao.